As we dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bibles, John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Turn your computer all the way down. It's got a digital on there problem. There you go. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I ask you if we'll stand and honor reading God's word this morning. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came also. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw, and believed. For they still did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know that it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you've removed him, tell me where you've put him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he said unto her. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us this morning as we look at your word. Father, hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. I pray, Lord, that as we go through this message this morning, that you'd move in our hearts, you'd stir us. Father, may your Holy Spirit indwell upon us. Father, may we worship you in spirit and truth. In your Son, Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Well, today we're going to look at night four study through VBS in our sermon series as we've been going through the VBS Bible study lessons and getting to know them as we've gone through these over the past few weeks. Today we're going to discuss the primary detail in Christian faith, the resurrection. The resurrection. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. So it's important for us not to miss the encounter at the tomb. Each of these, as we've gone through them, as I've shared with you, we've seen different things and had different ways that people have encountered Jesus, and we too can encounter. So I'm going to see how good your memory is. If you remember the VBS motto, zoom in, focus on Jesus. Let's hear you say that. Zoom in, focus on Jesus.
Zoom in, focus on Jesus.
Very good. Very good. We, as God's people, as children in VBS, as adults who may be working in VBS or may have other things going on, we each need to zoom in and focus upon Jesus. Focus upon who he is, what he's done for us, the accomplishments he gave to us, the freedom that he gave us. We celebrated our nation's freedom this past week, but we have freedom from sin from what Jesus accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection. We should be shooting a lot of fireworks. Amen. From praising our Lord for what he's done for us. Amen. The key question that is going to be asked this week is going to be the question, am I ready for an up close and personal encounter with Jesus? So, I'm reminded of a story of VBS. Several years ago, Wade was working in VBS. Wade, I've got another story. I've got a lot of stories to tell about you, Wade.
You make them up every week.
But he was working in VBS, and he noticed this young boy brought bologna every day. And he got the question, he said, what do you bring bologna? And he started noticing this boy was very good at sculpting things with the bologna. And Wade was mesmerized with it. He said, that's just unbelievable. You do a great job. Can you make a pig? He made the shape of a pig. He asked him a cow. And he asked him a boat. And he made these things. And Wade asked him a house. And the boy went into intricate detail. And he made this house. And looked just like a house. Plenty of place furniture within, inside it. And all these things. Wade just couldn't believe it. He couldn't wait to share it. So Wade said, wow, I want you to do something special for me. I want you to make something that looks like me. And the boy promptly responded, I don't have that much alone. That was a joke. Wade's full of baloney. You didn't get it. I'm teasing. I love you, brother. Many people in our today's society, when you start talking about the resurrection, they say baloney. They do. It's exactly what takes place. But I want to tell you something. They have not experienced the presence of my Savior.
Amen.
Because I have experienced His presence. Amen. As many of you here this morning have. And we know that it's not alone.
Amen.
We know that He is faithful and true. That He'll never leave us or forsake us. That does not mean life will not be difficult. He walks alongside. He encourages us. He lives life alongside with us. And He encourages us to do the same. To reach people to grow His kingdom. The resurrection is not belonging. In fact, I got some scripture to back it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. Bear with me, but they read like this. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. You see, when we surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Verse 14, but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. So we see there in that verse of Scripture, to some who think it's baloney, it's because they don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit they live in. God's Word is inspired by Him and Him alone. He used man to write these words down. There's not mistake written within it. It does not contradict anywhere in itself what it says. Everything it says in itself is a whole, and that's what God's Spirit teaches us. Equips us, and prepares us, all pointing back to His Word. You see, today we want to discover at the tomb, the resurrection impacts our faith tremendously. Though these answers are going to be a little different, I'm going to ask a question, but I'm going to give you a response. They're a little different from what we've normally are accustomed to, but I want you to bear with me as we go through this morning's message in a fill in the blanks. So number one, your fill in the blanks is found in your bulletin. How does the resurrection impact faith? Number one is faith eclipsed. Faith eclipsed. You see, the definition of eclipse is an obscuring of the light from one celestial body by the passage of another between it and the observer, or between it and its source of illumination. In other words, something casts a shadow upon the light. Or the light is shining, and there's something comes between the light and the person or the light, whatever it may be, it casts a shadow upon it. There's an eclipse taking place. Faith is often eclipsed because people have doubts, people have concerns, people miss the evidence that is in front of them that points them in a direction that's all good. They miss something, and there's a reason they're missing it. We'll get to that conclusion here in just a moment. We see a vivid picture of this from Mary Magdalene. When she saw the stone rolled away, she jumped to conclusions. What's happened to Jesus? Somebody's taking him. She jumped to a conclusion. Her faith was eclipsed because she wasn't seeing clearly in front of her. She completely forgot Jesus' promise that he gave her and he gave the disciples in Matthew 12, 30, 40, being one of them. For as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Matthew 16, 21. From then on, Jesus began to point out to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and be raised on the third day. That's just two scriptures of many that Jesus gives them information. I'm going to pay the price for your sin. I'm going to be laid to rest. I'm going to die. But I'm not going to stay there. But 3 days later, I will rise. And here we see in our scripture, Mary Magdalene, and we see in our scripture, Peter and John being the beloved disciple, we see them coming and seeing. And you look at other texts, other gospels that gives the story, we'll recognize the we see here in our text about Mary Magdalene says, we is talking about the other women that was with her, though they're not named here and they are at other places. Many people came that first day and recognized the tomb was empty. See, so therefore, in spite of what Jesus had told her and the disciples, their doubts were in the way. Life had eclipsed their faith. They had allowed busyness. Oh Lord, he had passed away, and there's no way to go back. And they allowed us to eclipse their faith, and so the evidence was right there in front of them. We see that at the very, very beginning of the story. What have you done with him? Where is it? She in fact looks at Jesus. Oh, that woman. Maybe it's because she wasn't focused on Jesus. Maybe it's because she was looking at something else. Something was getting in the way from her recognition of who Jesus was. Gaston, if you have it ready, I want you to watch this film right here and see if you may have seen it before. Listen to the instructions that are given. Computer volume has to go up. Oftentimes we can be instructed to look at one thing. That's these were instructed. How many times do people want to pass the ball? Pass 13 times. I don't know if it's your first time or not, but the first time I looked at it, I did not see the bear walk through there and moonwalk out. I was paying attention to something else. You see, that's exactly what being eclipsed is. Things can be right in front of us, and we miss it because we're not paying attention. Yeah. We're not looking to where spiritually, where God wants us to look. We're looking at all types of things and all situations around us, and our focus is taken off Jesus, and we miss it. When it's right under our nose. The truth of the gospel. The truth of what God's Word says. A simple 1 minute to 7 second awareness test causes us to recognize, causes us to ask the question, am I focused upon the things that God wants me to focus upon, or am I focused upon something? And if I am focused upon anything other than Jesus Christ, my faith is eclipsed.
Many of us here this morning are living our lives in a manner that our faith is eclipsed. Maybe we're like Mary Magdalene. Maybe we're brokenhearted because of the loss of a loved one, or she thought she had lost her Savior. She thought this had taken place, but her faith was eclipsed. She had seen standing right in front of her because her faith was not focused in the spot that needed focus. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe your finances are in the way, and you wonder how in the world, like the rest of us, are we going to make ends meet next month? How are we going to put food on the table? How are we going to make that house payment? How are we going to do all these things? And we start to question, God, why am I not making the money to accomplish this? And we allow our finances to get in the way. We allow our finances to derail us. We allow our finances to distract us from where we need to be. Maybe it's school. Maybe we get so caught up in, well, I need to be successful in school. Well, that's right, we do. But anything when placed before Jesus Christ is a sin. Anything when placed before Him, when we allow it to eclipse, get between us and our Lord, that becomes a sin. It could be an activity. It may be a good activity that we enjoy doing, whatever that may be. But anything, again, once again, that we place between us and Jesus is a sin. This is an denial of who He is. Revealing our faith, being eclipsed. I feel like there's many here this morning. I've been there where I've allowed things and stuff to get between me and my Lord. I'm ashamed to admit that I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I've allowed things to get between me and my Lord. And I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. Don't allow things to get between you and your Lord. Because He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's one day coming back. He's going to ask you the question. First, who do you say that I am? Second, what did you do with what I gave you to live in following after me? If we live our life in faith eclipsed, let me tell you something. James 2:26 says it, not Greg, nothing. But James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. Now, I don't know any other way to explain it. Faith does not work for Jesus. It does not exist. Christians, we can allow our faith to be eclipsed. Let me tell you something. It doesn't have to stay there. Just like we see in our text, Jesus called Mary Magdalene by name. Mary. Ask the question. How many times does He call your name? How many times does He call my name? Greg. Your faith is eclipsed. Live for me. Allow me to live for you. I know you have all these things, but carry it over to me. Let me be the ruler of your life. Let me be the Lord of your life. Because I already am, no matter if it's that or not. Trust me. So we see oftentimes our faith is eclipsed because we allow things to get between us and the Lord. He is the light. And we would rather live in darkness and have these things eclipse us from the light. Don't enjoy the darkness. Step into the light. Don't allow things to eclipse your relationship with Jesus Christ. Number two, in your fill in the blank, how does the resurrection impact my faith? Faith dawning. So we see something here that I think we need not miss. That I don't know how many of you, but several of you I know love and enjoy hunting or fishing or all types of things. And when the day starts dawning, the birds seem to get a little spring in their step. They get a little louder, it seems like. And all these things start happening, and life starts to rejoice because the day is about to break. And as the day gets here, it even gets louder. You really enjoy. Let me tell you something, Christians. Too many of us are living our life in the eclipse. But step number one, we need to take a step of faith and trust Him. And that faith needs to start dawning so we can start growing. Faith needs to start trusting so we can start being more of what God has intended for us to be, what God has called for us to be, so a world can know that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can share with them that they can have that same hope that lives within us. Faith needs to start dawning. Scripture reveals by surrender to Jesus Christ, we should allow ourselves to be transformed into God's design instead of our own. This week during RA camp,
That's the exact verse of scripture that's going to be used on Romans chapter 12, verse 2, as we talked about being not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if God doesn't change this week, I'm going to use a little example of them. I'm going to use Plato, a little toy that Plato has. Plato can be conformed into a lot of things by being pressed through a shape. Our life oftentimes looks like we've been pressed through something, forced into a direction, being conformed to what the world wants us to look like, instead of being transformed into what God knows we need to look like. You see, the conform is being changed from the outside in. But when we're transformed from the inside out. God changes. God loves us enough to save us, but He also loves us enough not to leave us where we are. We're called to follow after Him. We need to live a life that's transformed instead of living a life that's conformed to what the world looks like. In other words, we need to begin to see. We need to begin to comprehend. We need to begin to understand what God's Word is sharing. We need to begin to dawn in our faith. Our faith needs to begin dawning. For faith to grow, let me tell you something, faith must first begin. Remember, faith without works is dead? For faith to grow, faith must first begin. We need to ensure that we live our lives in a fashion. And if your faith is not growing, if your faith is not being fed by God's Word, then your faith is not real. Now, let me tell you something. When you talk about faith being fed, the pastor is not to feed the sheep. The fat pastor is supposed to shepherd the sheep. Yes, Jesus said to Peter, feed the sheep, feed my lambs, feed the sheep. He wasn't talking about figuring out you to preach so they can hear and be fed. You see, feeding takes place at home. Church was set up by God, not prayer, to come together to encourage one another. To lift each other up. To live life in a fashion that will bring honor and glory to your name. One person can do a lot, but many much more can do.
Amen.
We can do enough without Jesus. Instead of us going down the road by ourselves, make sure first and foremost is with Jesus. But instead of traveling that road by ourselves, make sure you bring others along with you. It's called discipleship. Grow in the family of faith, if you will. That's what we do. We move from faith to faith. We move into a faith dawning. But faith to dawning does not stay there.
See, faith dawning, as we see here on three different occasions, I want to ask the question, what caused the people's faith to start dawning in our text? It was because they saw. They saw. We see the word saw used here. And John wrote, when he wrote this account, he used three different Greek words for the word see. In John 20, verse 5, the verb seeing simply means to glance in and look in. In John 20, verse 6, the word means to look carefully, to observe. And last, the word saw in chapter 20, verse 8 in John, it says to perceive with intelligent comprehension. So you see a process of John as he writes this, seeing, though it's a different Greek word and we translate it into English. What he's saying is there's a transition in the life of a believer. They're eclipsed by something that they recognize, they start dawning, and the next one you're going to hear, I'm going to get to you, it's going to be faith shining. So we move ourselves from a faith that is dark, a faith that is eclipsed, to a faith that starts dawning, and to a faith that we need to start shining for Jesus Christ. That's exactly what John here is speaking of. But let me tell you something. The disciples here gathered evidence for their faith. Let me tell you something right here. As good as evidence is to convince the mind, evidence can never change a life. Only Jesus can do that. As good as evidence is, evidence cannot change a life. Only Jesus can change a life. Today, we cannot examine the evidence that they had, the material evidence, the tomb, the grave clothes. We no longer have it for us to inspect. However, we have something of greater value. It's called God's Word. That we have given to us as evidence. We have God's Word. We have the testimony of the disciples
We have the testimony of a changed life, of people who have, in faith, trusted in God's Word. And just a little side note, in the beginning, it was the Word. The Word was flesh. The Word came flesh. He dwelt among us. And those of us who are here to observe His glory, you see, the Word was Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to turn to the Word and stop letting evidence dictate your belief. Start allowing God's Word, which points to the Savior, that is Jesus. And follow after Him. Allow your faith to begin dawning. Peter as well, one of the ones we see in our text in the Scripture, that went in and saw the evidence. He wrote down in God's Word through the leadership of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the Word that was preached as the gospel to you. Faith dawning. Where is your faith? What does your lifestyle reveal? Is your faith and lifestyle dawning to live according to God's Word? Is it progressing to a closer fellowship with Him? Let me tell you what often happens during this dawning process. Satan does not want you to leave the darkness. And in essence, there's a tug of war that takes place. You want to go and you want to follow the Lord, but Satan says, no, I don't. Then you start pulling against the Lord. And you're on both teams, if you will. Romans chapter 7, Paul wrote very plainly, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. But Romans 8, 1, my favorite verse of Scripture is, now therefore we are not condemned, because I am Christ in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're not condemned. But here's one thing in tug of war I learned very quickly. We like to win. But by accident, you know what we learned one day, we was young, you know, making sure we just had fun, but boy, we did dumb, ladies. We learned if we let go, the other team falls down. We don't want the other team to fall down. We want the other team to be buried. Let me tell you something. He's already been buried because Jesus defeated him 2,000 plus years ago. Here's what I'm saying. That tug of war, we let go. We will let go of that guy. Let God do the pulling. He's already gained victory. Let God do the sustaining. Let God do the dawning in your life. The first thing you must do is let go and let God. Allow Him to be Lord in your life and serve after Him and follow after Him. Don't miss the point we want you to hear this morning. That your faith needs to move from the eclipsed. Your faith needs to start dawning. Number three, as I've already shared with you a moment ago, how does the resurrection impact faith? Faith shining. Faith shining. Now, we concluded last week with this question. If someone looked at your life, could they tell Jesus was a priority to you? We asked that question again. We concluded with it last week. If someone looked at your life, could they tell that Jesus was a priority to you? The answer is yes or no. It's not well, it's not maybe. It's yes or no. You can answer. I want you to answer. Answer to yourself, if someone looked at me, could they tell that Jesus was a priority in my life? In order for us to move from this faith eclipse to faith dawning, now to faith shining, our life must reveal Jesus to others. People must see that He is a priority in our life. Here's one thing that contributes to our lack of shining. We neglect to go from head knowledge to heart knowledge. What do I mean? I've heard people say there's going to be many people that miss heaven by 18 inches at the approximate distance between the head and the heart. They have all the knowledge in the world. They've heard about him. They believe, but they don't receive. In James, it shares with us, 1:19, I believe, maybe 2:19, says, you believe there's a God, do well. But even the demons believe, fear and tremble. It takes more than believing. We must receive, we must surrender to Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. We must move, as I shared with you, from the eclipse to the dawning, to the shining for who Jesus is. What am I meaning by all this? When John was with Jesus at the table, he leaned against his bosom. John 13:23. But when John saw Jesus at the Isle of Patmos, he fell at his feet as dead. Revelation 1:17. What do I mean? He moved from glad to know Jesus to worshiping and adoring him as his Lord and Savior. I think there's many people in this world today, there are probably many people in this room today, we have moved from knowing Jesus and knowing who he is to surrendering to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the one who gave his life for you, because he alone is worthy of our worship. And we need to be worshiping him. We need to allow him to live in and through us. We need to be shining for him. That's not Greg's word of instruction. That's God's word of instruction. I'm just a messenger. But I hope you're hearing it this morning. Too many people are living in hope in a life of eclipse. We have moved step one into the dawning phase. And we don't need to stay there. We don't need to be satisfied with the status quo, because there's too many people in this world who say, you know what, I've been saved, that's enough. Let me tell you something. If you say, I've been saved, that's enough. You need to truly evaluate if you've been saved or not. Because God's Word shares that we need to be actively following Him. Pursuing after him. Why? Because he pursued after us. And he commanded us to go into a world and share that there's hope found in Jesus. Because there's many people today that proclaim to be Christians, but they don't read God's Word, they don't study God's Word, they don't grow in God's Word. How can anyone shine for Jesus if they're not growing? They cannot. They cannot. One more thing before we close. We need to recognize the sovereignty of Jesus. If you look in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 25, verses 17 to 19, listen to this. Make a mercy seat of pure gold, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide. Make two cherubim of gold, that's angels, and hammer them to work to. Hammer them to the ends of the mercy seat. Make one cherub at one end and one cherub at the other end. At its two ends, make the cherubim of one piece with the mercy seat. That was the way people came and received forgiveness, by coming to the mercy seat and sprinkling blood. Now, let me tell you something. Don't miss this. New Testament, Jesus is the new mercy seat. And we get a glimpse of that within our text. Listen to John 20:12. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet. One on each end. Just like the Old Testament instruction. The Old Testament mercy seat. Jesus became the New Covenant, the New Testament mercy seat. He alone is the one that can forgive you of your sins. He alone is the one that paid the price upon the cross for the forgiveness of sins. When will we begin to live our lives in a fashion and a manner that we understand we are a child of the one and only living God, and move from that faith eclipse to the faith dawning to the faith shining for our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our Provider, our Creator, our everything? When, church, are we going to start living for Him? When, church, are we going to start following Him? Why? Because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we need to know that He alone is worthy. Worship. If the encounter with Jesus at the tomb is the most important detail in our faith, why do we go on living life without it? Why? As we get ready for this orientation, I want to give you one word that I read this week. consider this statement. Historical faith says Christ lives. Historical faith says Christ lives. Saving faith says Christ lives in me. Did you hear that? Historical faith says Christ lives. Saving faith says Christ lives within me. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives within me. Church, I think it's past time that we move past the historical faith that Christ lives into saving faith that Christ lives in me. So where is your faith? Only saving faith gets you to heaven. Only a faith that says Christ lives within me gets you to heaven, because that is what true saving faith is. We surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. We obey what His Word says. We know what His Word says because we're reading it, we're studying it, we're growing in it. Our faith is growing. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. That's exactly how our faith grows, by feeding in God's Word. In that, God's Word is knowing Christ more. And that's our responsibility as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, as a church, to know Christ more and to make Christ known. Are we living in a fashion in that manner? The answer is yes or no. The answer is yes or no. Are you allowing Christ to live in and through you? So I want to encourage you, stop living a lie with an eclipsed faith. Move forward into allowing your faith to dawn into a person that knows and trusts Jesus as Savior. And don't let it stop there. Allow your faith to begin to shine. This is what the resurrection does for us. Gives us a new life. Jesus. For the old things of life. The new things have come. Because we surrender to Jesus. So here this morning, you do not surrender to Jesus.
Thank you.
in these words. You're saved. I want to create you just as you are. He loves you regardless. He wants to hear from you. He wants to have fellowship. Church, he wants you to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. Won't you respond?
Brother Kyle, would you dismiss the word for
prayer? Lord, thanks for this day. Thank you for everything you've